interrupting the current neo-coronial. Actually, it's the neo-uchronial. They're hitting us from two punches here. The Rona and the Ucro. And it all ends up being the same end underneath the skin of it. So watch how this works. You're watching, as I've been explaining, how they take out societies. And they're doing it on a global scale, which just blows. I just can't get beyond that. I don't even understand how they pulled this off. But they're doing it, and people are letting them. Interrupting the current neo-uchronial cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed, this is Cricketude Busting Episode BTWRLM472. Before I forget, because it goes quick, over at Spreaker, and thank you to Grammy Mary for the donations to keep that account going. We're going to have 90 episodes there as we move this thing on, and it becomes the focus for, I put a higher quality file there, which is also the one I use when I do the video conversion to put it on BitChute, which is the only video, I think, place I go, and it's just so much work for me to keep up, I don't go anywhere else. So that's the other problem about being the only guy behind the woodshed on all this. So on top of the fact of having to make those video files and all these posts and getting the edits right to get the sound better, it takes quite a few hours after this broadcast. But thank you to Grammy Mary for the donation. As you can go, I guess, to the website, RLM, and you can donate at any time, even though we have the donation month, typically in February. We had a little delay this year with the transition. And I appreciate everybody who donates to keep the servers running, and that's really all this goes to. It just keeps the hardware running, keep us on the air. But looking today, I just noticed I'm at 89 episodes on Spreaker. Thank you, Grammy Mary, for that account. It helps to move all these other things along, so gives more access to people. And thank you for all of you that are you know retweeting or whatever, prodding you along here. We've got to stop being the crickets. We've got to respond, defend ourselves. It's getting worse and worse. And I hope people, without being fearful, I hope people are noticing and taking note. And that's what we're going to talk about here in another second. Passing the word around and giving people, hopefully, an insight. They don't have to take it. And they can position themselves better so that they don't have to take it. As I was trying to show you, and I have showed you, about the Kobe fraud. It's right there to identify the crime that people under color of official government, of officials in government, will do. It's right there to identify. Not just that you thought the government's bad. Because that government, like, it's an inert thing. It's the people inside it. And so let's move on before I go, because there's so much to talk about. I've got over, I'll just let you, 400 tabs on a different browser now that I just can't pour through, and I dump quite a bit just getting through these stories. So I'm only talking just barely the tip of the icebergs here on these stories, trying to bring an idea of how to look at things, what to prepare for, looking at, again, as I say, looking at the past to predict the future in a way, although, you know, that we can't really predict so much. There is momentum and direction. When you build a momentum, it's going to go in. There's a physics behind all this. It does all these, this action by man in the world and women too, actually goes in directions that can be predicted, if you will. Partly why, if you see the euphemism, I suppose, the history repeats itself. That's really tied to our nature, and that's dictated, predictated in a long time. If you look at the Bible, predicted that we have a fallen nature as people. And so we have to be cognizant of that. And it seems that the worst rises to the top, the caucusocracy, but I haven't used that term in a long time. But yeah, that's what ends up happening. And that's what we're suffering to the point that I want to get right to it here. I want to get us right up front and say, and remind us all, there's lots of people now taking more cognizance of this problem. We have more proofs. Just as a tab, we have just the news out there. I just hit these things. You can find them wherever you want to go look. But I say make these important right now. I think this is the closest we've been to having to prepare to not allow the brunt, the full blow against us, as we are looking more evidence of food shortages in 6 months being told to us. This is really not a news behind the woodshed. I've told you there's another discussion coming, that the globalists are telling us what happens next. Well, the guy behind the woodshed's been telling you what's happening next, and it's all based on what so-called globalists are setting up And how they work is we understand the corporations working through government in this fascism style that we tended not to pay attention to, working, and we can put a term on it, but it's not the only thing working. We can say sustainable development, what's now known more broadly as that Great Reset, with a couple of puppets on the top of that running it. But this was all set up and planned, and we need to not be standing, certainly not on the tracks of that train. We may not even want to be close to the eddy. We want to be a ways while we can see it coming. The food shortages, and they speak to all the players right up front in this Cryptagon article, the IMF, the BIS, the World Bank, the UN, Rockefeller Foundation, the World Economic Forum, Bank of America, and even Biden himself are all predicting a major food crisis in the near term. And it's not a coincidence that the policies of these very institutions and actions of puppet politicians that work with them are causing the crisis they are now predicting. You look really intelligent when you can predict the future, don't you? And so this is the point about how they gain favor in people's minds. The last sentence of this paragraph is, that is to say, it's easy to predict a disaster when you create a disaster. And so I'll leave that here. There's a link to a video. I think it's to Awaken with JP, a comedian guy, kid. Pretty funny. He lays out some more stuff. You want to see how that works, just look at how this thing is. You likely already know it if you listen Behind the Woodshed at any length of time. I want to put up more of a focus on that because it really looks like we're not escaping what has been planned. And you look at what they were doing. You don't do that kind of stuff in a normal, rational thought when you're actually adhering to the honor of taking care of those, that oath that you undertook. You don't do, as employees of the government or governments around the world, you don't do this. So that, I told you, when you see that, you got to take what they do as a lead over what they say. And that's back to that Lieber code. If I didn't know anywhere else to find it, I find it there. And so, rethought. So here we go, here on this next new information, thanks to the emailer who sent some of these links to put together. In other words, I appreciate, it's interesting how when I'm looking at things throughout the week and I just kind of, I just collect it up for the end of the week when I do the broadcast setup on Saturday night. During the week, some links will come and I always find it fascinating that people are thinking in general, finding the same complementary information out there, all in the same mode. And I guess there's a blindness there if I'm looking at something else, but I guess but that email never came to that something else, which is interesting. So, not getting too ooey-oo on that. It's interesting how we kind of think we are thinking together and these information come to help us that there's a video showing it. SHTF. You have to hear what this trucking insider said to me, prep now. And this is more information of the destruction of the infrastructure inside the infrastructure relative, let's say, to trucking, relative to the parts to be gotten to keep the trucks on the road, relative to those trucks that bring the parts not being able to keep kept on the road, speaking to this supply chain problem that I told you a long time ago was set up to break. See, you make single links in an it's easy to break each link. Parallel links wouldn't have been so would have been a lot harder, and not having any links at all, in other words, keeping your production inside the manufacturing inside the country would have been the most difficult. Except you see, that's not an immune when you look around and see the food processing plants being, everyone's saying they're burning and being destroyed. Some are, some aren't. But the point is, they are being attacked, and I don't know the reason. I don't have more time to think about it. I think I'm taking that as a notice. If you have some time to put away some food, start doing it. Start getting food in the ground now to have something to do in the future. This year I got, for the 2 years I couldn't germinate, this year I got my plants starting to germinate. Problem is the weather's not actually cooperating. I'm have to hold off these seedlings now a couple extra weeks, which is problematic anyway for space. And so if you can, you can grow stuff. I have a very small spot. I have to do lots of things. I'm trying to figure out a way to get around the fertilizer problem. I don't normally buy fertilizer anyway, but I know I need to make some stuff up. I've been doing some things now. In fact, I was just looking at rainwater. I wanted to get some rain. I like to put rainwater on the garden. I think it's got stuff in it from nature. It's got a charge. Nature does that for us. I don't like to use even well water, but I started catching water underneath the forest, and I noticed it was whiskey brown. I said, what's that whiskey brown? And I started researching. Well, there's a whole lot of nutrition coming out of the trees in your mixed forest, if you have one. If not, then you have a little less. But fascinating where you can find fertilizer, if you will, things for the plants to grow better. It's time to start focusing a bit on that. I don't think I'd spend any more near the time I am right now that I just have been on this broadcast telling you, prepare for the shortages. The trucks are having problem getting the parts to move stuff to you if you haven't seen the shortages. I haven't heard too much general around where I live, although that's starting to show. There's now statements of a little bit less in the stores, a little bit less of certain things, bigger spaces in the aisles. And so there's and this is a time that shouldn't be happening in the world. It's global supply chain. There shouldn't be any shortages of whatsoever. All I know is it's trying to buy things outside of food, just buying stuff. It's as if we're back in the 80s. I can't find the stuff in the stores like I couldn't find the stuff in the stores then. So, at any rate, I just don't know what else more to say. You pay attention here, folks. There's a video here you can listen to. It's explaining from truckers that they're having trouble. It's explaining the fuel costs are over doubling their fuel. Some of these folks are having to pay that out of their pocket up front. Some product can't be shipped because it can't be shipped for a valuable enough price to ship it. So the shortage, one of the examples was cat food. They're not going to, apparently, I don't know why, but they're not going to ship it because there's no payment. I guess you don't get the payment for that. And so truckers won't do it. That's a slowly internal breakdown that is invisible to most people. I'm bringing this up today. I think this is a serious thing. Do what you can to buffer supply shortages. Again, as I said last week, and I say periodically, start looking very carefully at people around you. When the time gets tough, you don't know who's going to break, and then that you're going to lose those alliances. But try to build your alliances as you can. Be discreet about what you do. You're not going to likely be self-sustaining. You're not going to you'll be reliant on something outside of you. And this is the time, well, before the pressure hits, to get, if you will, that exercise, that muscle memory, that interaction before the trouble starts and people start to think with their emotions or their, again, well, the panic, I guess, is an emotion. Again, this is the idea. If you practice it, if you do a little bit of practice on emergencies, you'll be a little bit more prepared when the emergency happens. And you'll have your own things going. So I guess I said enough there. You got folks that listen to me are really intelligent. I know that. I just look around and don't see that the bulk of people are. And that's what your contention will be. It won't be with you. Anybody who has no contention with the people around them, you won't really see the problem amongst yourself. It's when, like, those contracts break down. That's what this so-called law is about. It's when things go wrong. What do? The law, if you will, these, like, civil things, are to really mitigate the problems among us. And we want to lower those capacities between us in the times of emergency. And so I just noticing it looks like it's, this one's, I guess it could not happen, but all indications are continuing to show that we need to be looking at all of this a lot differently and a lot more prepared. And though I've been advocating, even so, the muscle memory that you need to have, the application, the familiarity memory that I'm asking you to do is an interaction with these thugs that are in government, how to interact with them to hold them off, how to make it, as I've said before, the example I'm using with the miner, they send you a letter of code compliance. You explain, you know enough to send them back the letter where their code doesn't extend to you. Like I've said with the miners, they send a 3809 notice of non-compliance. You send back a letter that says that doesn't apply to me. And then you give them the black and white how that's the case. There's an argument. You don't get involved. You don't try to do much more. When the SHTF hits, that's the time just to do what you need to. Don't overextend yourself. And so I'm asking people to get, because it seems the organized criminals sit in the government with the color of authority, I've been wanting people to do the basics on how to protect yourself. Start now before the trouble really comes down. Start to exercise those things. As I'm trying to help some people, we find as you get into certain conditions, you have to work out some things sometimes. And so I don't know, that's the fact. So move again. And, okay, we're having it's a little bit disconcerting to hear people, honest working, let's say these truckers here, being stressed and being falling. They're falling out of businesses they've been doing all their lives, essentially 30 years. They can no longer do trucking. The infrastructure that keeps your system working, which is the transportation system in the truckers, is collapsing from inside. They can't, the independent apparently can't do it anymore. And they're working hard to continue to do it. You know, we'll suffer quite a bit, and that masks the problem as well. And so there's a seemingly, unless the information's really bogus and I can't see through it, there's too many supporting facts coming together that show, what do we use, the perfect storm is brewing here. It's right here, folks. It's right here. It's happening. It's almost happening in slow motion. It's almost a problem because it's that incremental destruction. People want to keep looking around. So I'm going to be here, I guess, for a while. Well, maybe not so long. We'll see how this works out. To say, this is not preparing. This is, you better have it now. You better start putting stuff away, working out with people what you can. And I think I beat that horse to death a bit. Sorry, horse. As we move into what I was telling you, as this whole thing is economically based, I pointed to you that even the vaccine, the jab condition was economic based. These same people that are involved, the IMF, the BIS, they're all talking about the jabs were going, the COVID fraud was going to be an economic policy base. Everything's based in attacking your economy. I see people, they say, oh, the proxy war is Ukraine, and they're taking laps because they predicted a proxy war before anybody else. It's not true. Look carefully. There's the statement coming out of the government is that they almost proxy war because the war was actually the economic attack. This whole global thing is an economic attack. And so one of the things you're focusing on, distance yourself in the economics and your monetary side for the private people, the supply of your food, how you get your parts. When you have no parts, how do you get your machines to run? Like, I get pretty, because I got nothing here to go out and get those parts, or those parts don't seem to be available. I get pretty creative, but at some point you can't do so much. You start to do with less. Maybe you have to anticipate that so you're not shocked by it. But here we have the evidence of what I was telling you about, what was happening in Ukraine. Again, you see the economic condition of what they impose upon societies that the society does not throw off. What started with Greta, went to COVID fraud, is this Ukraine war. I've told you, look inside. Both sides are doing the same thing underneath in their infrastructure that's going to pass through this technocratic stuff, the electronic stuff. We hear now that Russia comes out to say it. World war taking place on economic level, Russian envoy to the UN says. So what I've said before, what hadn't been said before, is acknowledged by Russia in saying this is really an economic war. And I told you that's not a proxy. That's a direct attack. And yes, the Ukraine fighting's going on, but that you see the players, if you will, the controllers are wanting to be in the West, they're not moving in so well. And there's interesting reasons behind that, and you have to understand and acknowledge there's those rules in play for all this lack of rules-based reality and that DeMille wants to talk about in the United States. There's rules being used. Look and see which ones they are. Russia comes out, and I said, give weight to Russia's words. They're coming out and telling you this is an economic attack. This is not a war in Ukraine. Contrary to what you say, this is a proxy war of a collective West against Russian Federation. I disagree with the proxy war. That's a direct attack he's missed there. But he is saying it's economic. He says, it goes on to say, it is as if we were eagerly awaiting this moment to unleash repression against Russia. So he's mixing his words. It's not war and repression. They're actually wanting to take Russia down. I want to point out that he closes that, and if we were to talk about world war, then without a doubt, it is being waged at the economic level today, Nebenzia said. And so that's the attack over there, is attack on you. It has been. This is what we, end the Fed. No, they're not going to end the Fed. In fact, they're bolstered it. You didn't, your little protests about end the Fed didn't understand the problem. I've been suggesting this strongly and advocating contrary to that for a long time. Part of how you end the Fed is stop using its products. That's going to take a, and they've got us so far out of practice. Well, I don't know. I don't know how this goes back, but we're going to have to force it back. We're going to have to take things that they, every product that the government issues, any service or benefit the government bestows, you have to isolate yourself from and be able to deny that it's a benefit and have a different place that you can be that doesn't require it. As I keep explaining how this works. Again, I'm not talking about the war in Ukraine. I'm not talking about even the economic attack in the war. I'm talking about take these as notice because you have something else to do. It's pointing you to where you're going to have to focus on how you're going to respond in order to stop this against you, whether you've seen that on you or not. Whether it comes so slowly on you, it creeps up on you in the dark before it bashes you in the head. I'm telling you there's something creeping up on you whether you sense that or not. And I'm saying you can be prepared to at least mitigate some of at least the blows or even blows altogether or even not even be standing there. So Russia comes out and says this is an economic war. I said that before. This is not a proxy war. It can look like one, but it's not. These people are playing for keeps. These global, and look who run the, look who are the heads of the, of these people, these officials. Look who they are. We're going to get into that this week here real quickly as the pipsqueak in the room steps right up when Lavrov does something. And I've got some, again, Telegram, interesting. I'm just not even looking at the Twitter anymore. Following into the Telegram accounts. I don't have an account myself. I don't like the Telegram's privacy stuff or whatever they have there. I looked into it. I was hoping, but that's not going to work out for me. But I do find interesting content there that I have to go find, search out singularly through other people's help. But up comes this interesting dynamic inside what's going on underneath the skin of all of this. What I found interesting, it's now run down to name-calling that now offends everybody. We're not grown up enough to take the name-calling and actually look at the substance. No, we're going to get triggered by the name-calling, and that people will actually resort to that, and then the resorting trigger, which is more funny to me. But the German parliament called for the expulsion of the Ukrainian ambassador from Germany. The initiative was taken by Deputy Zevin Dagdelen. Quote, whoever does not expel the Nazi supporter Melnik now has lost all self-respect, she said. The explanation here, yesterday Ukrainian Ambassador Melnik called the German Chancellor an offended liver sausage in the response to his refusal to come to Kiev. There's a whole thing going on back there about this, but darn it, you better not call the chancellor an offended liver sausage. Causes a diplomatic breakdown and almost going to go to war here over the disrespect that Kiev gave. But my point here is look at their Nazi. They're acknowledging the Nazi support. And this becomes the theme, the denial that's been going on, the thing we talked about last week. Look at what's going on and look at when we get into this, look at what it's the absurdity that seems to be the anomaly of who is involved in supporting what everyone else, and even the United States, acknowledges is Nazi, the National Socialist type of mentality government that was supposedly destroyed by Hitler. And I don't, I say that, and my mind just says, okay, well, let's not get wrapped up in the stories in history. Look at what was the condition of it. I'm not judging one side or the other anymore. I'm looking at what do these players in the world that grab the minds and emotions of people, what do they do with it? And do they really end up doing, well, now we see it's censorship or propaganda or just outright lies by government. And we have another link I don't have it. The government's being called out for, I think Rand Paul actually maybe got on the right side of this one, but telling the new Ministry of Truth, the government is the main proprietor of propaganda and lies. We mean disinformation. But here we have we don't want to be an offended liver sausage and be identified as that. That could be a diplomatic disaster for somebody. But then what comes up right into that, the heat of this. And where Russia, I said, give weight to the words of Russia. Boy, they're talking about it. Watch how the players work. The foreign media, Lavrov was doing an Italian TV interview, and he, quote, says this, the fact that Zelensky is Jewish does not deny the Nazi elements in Ukraine. I believe that Hitler also had Jewish blood. Later in the speech, he added, the worst anti-Semites are the Jews. And I would have to correct, I wanted to correct the esteemed Lavrov by saying you should have used the word Zionist, because that's the political aspect. So he used the word Jewish, the Jews, and I'm saying Zionist, as I explained last week, as I explained periodically. Look at, again, the anomaly. How is it that supposedly, and you see this in my change of the word, you can easily, more easily, Vince, show, it's not really the Jews that are supporting that. If you go the Jews are in the religious context. Zionists, the political, can absolutely support a political arrangement, a political ideology like National Socialism. And so if you start to parse that through, you start to realize when you reframe it just slightly and keep it within what's going on, just rename, actually re-identify in truth what's going on. If you see, change the word Jew out for here for Zionist, then it makes perfect sense. If you have any insight at all, have any eyes to see, the worst anti-Semites are the Zionists. How could, it's irrelevant, actually, the Jewish blood. He can be a Zionist and support Nazism. We understand that's the fact because Germany is saying, yeah, we're full of Nazi. Well, I thought Germany was what we killed all that of them. That's why they're so sensitive to it. That doesn't mean we look away because all of a sudden there's these supposedly offending words. There's a grand lie going on, a grand deception going on. We better be able to be on it bright-eyed enough and stare at this thing enough to be able to not blink and watch how the play goes. Look who capitulates to who upon this. This became apparently a big enough deal that the prime minister gets involved from Israel and with the president. But Russia doubles down, says Israel supports neo-Nazi regime in Ukraine. Like, that's impossible. If we understand Israel, see, they say the state of Israel, not the nation of Israel. They're real sensitive about this because the nation of Israel is the biblical reference to a man and his offspring. A state is a condition. And so Israel is not the man, not the Bible, not the offspring, not the Israelites, not the Semites, in part. And the news from Haaretz is Russia doubled down, says Israel supports neo-Nazi regime in Ukraine. That's a true statement. They just put it as a title. They make it sound like it could not be true. And then they throw in the conflation that relative to the Nazi Holocaust. How dare he confuse that? Unforgivable falsehood that debased the horrors of the Nazi Holocaust. Does it? Actually? By whom? So we do see that we can see right through the propaganda. I'm kind of focusing on the player that sits there inside this, that moves its agenda along, apparently silent, and makes sure they're transparent to the entire condition. And yet the words are telling us exactly what's going on. The national acknowledgments are actually being told to us. But don't throw away who's in charge of the money in the world and that this is an economic attack on the world. And it's done on multiple layers. And who wants to ultimately be the technological controller of that on top of all this? Just keep those layers of control all together here. And you may, hopefully, you'll see what I see, in part. Again, there's always these other potentials, so nothing's absolute here. It's pretty good. It's pretty solid. It's pretty predictable. But you never know, the wild card always sits there. Nature's kind of funny that way. Human nature, the animal nature is pretty funny that way, too. I don't know that I would ever try to predict someone's human nature. It gets pretty treacherous to the point it'll kill you. And so, moving on, another story right in together. Israel now steps up with, oh, they're offended. Israel blasts Russian foreign minister for saying Hitler had Jewish roots. Okay, they blasted. Was it untrue? They want to make it sound like that was untrue. The studies I've done says it's highly likely. And it's highly likely, and the problem is that sometimes it's in different foreign languages, it's hard to see. We're going to have that same problem with what this girl they're putting in, the woman, not a girl, 33, an interesting age, going into the Ministry of Truth, having this same problem with identity of where she comes from, yet her ancestry and her life was in this region, now put in an office in the United States. Fascinating how the interesting connections are. You separate the idea of Zionism and being Jewish, and you see Zionism working in politics and replace Israel for Zionism or Zionist or that, and you move the word Jew into that, and it's a political attack by a group of people who care less actually about the Jewish people, from what I can tell. You don't attack your own Orthodox people, if it's one people, then they do. But at any rate, I don't want to get off lost on this. Here we have, now we have the emotion-driving statements, not really saying whether it's true or not, whether or not that's not, it's a non sequitur, maybe it is a non sequitur, but the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov made the startling suggestion that Nazi Germany leader Adolf Hitler had Jewish roots, prompting Israel's prime minister to issue a rebuke accusing the official of using the Holocaust as a battering ram. No such statement and no such disproof from the prime minister here of the Zionist political regime occupying a piece of land set up by Britain. Keep it all together, folks. These are so close together as far as what the alliances are underneath the skin of this. It's scary when you hear what Boris Johnson's doing as well. And so I'm not going to get too deep more than to identify there's a deception right in our face going on. There's no proofs or disproofs. There's just assertions causing people to respond that you start to see there's a pragmatic reason at some level maybe to capitulate a bit here as we move along on this insult, supposedly, taking on whatever they can in Zioland and bringing up no disproof, but just taking it as an offense. I'm triggered. We see the Prime Minister, Naftali Bennett, spoke with Russian President Vladimir Putin. The Prime Minister presented the President with a humanitarian request to examine various options for evacuations from Azovstal in Mariupol. Well, what does that have to do with Lavrov? And he did come and talk with them. They used it again as an opportunity to go talk about other things. So you're watching this scam going on with Israel using something that not even focusing on the issue. But we also find out that the two discussed Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov's remarks. The Prime Minister accepted President Putin's apology for Lavrov's remarks and thanked him for clarifying his attitude toward the Jewish people and the memory of the Holocaust. That's interesting how Russia did that, that Putin, if you will, maybe capitulated, and then maybe how he didn't. When you see what he talks about, he didn't speak to the Zionism part. He accepts that maybe it was misunderstood and taken that they were talking about and denigrating the Holocaust. Whatever you think about that, there's plenty of study on all that. The people who promote the Holocaust have themselves said it wasn't quite as big as it was, and I don't want to listen. Millions of people died. Tens of millions of people died in World War II under similar lies as what we're seeing today, reinvigorating that area again today. And I'm sick of it. I'm actually and I don't know what really more to do about it, but try to identify the lie, because the lie that the United States government, with the Israeli regime, Zionist regime, the governments around Russia do in the world, is the same tactics and deception that they end up working on their own people. If Covey fraud didn't explain to you how brutal the Zionist regime would be against the Jews in Israel, and the non-Jews in Israel. I mean, this, I don't know why we look past all this, but boy, you know, Putin had to do an apology. I'd sure like to hear their conversation on that. And so we have one of the most powerful governments and military governments in the world in a special operation right now, giving an apology to a pipsqueak. It is a very interesting thing to me. And that pipsqueak is a future controller. And this again ties us back into Putin is also seeing the future, and what they are working toward is all essentially the same thing. And they have a fine line to walk. And that's fine at some point. But nothing was really disproven. There was just an apology made. And this is what Russia can do. And so I'd say, look at this very carefully. And be careful on what you think is actually going on. Because Russia is really good. Their humor is very interesting. Their diplomatic tactics are very interesting as well. Vladimir Putin apologizes to Israeli PM Naftali Bennett on Sergei Lavrov's remark, as the mainstream media will promote, and it happened, so I'm not saying that's not a proper statement, but they are now promoting that there was this apology, and again, that implies that there was a wrong, and I suppose to some level there was, but it was to what? To the extent that anybody took a negative inference on any attachment to the Holocaust. It certainly doesn't answer whether or not Hitler was Jewish at some level, or that the Jews are being attacked by the Zionists. Doesn't answer any of that stuff. Why don't we look at that? Again, they focused on something emotional, not substance. And they, again, statement, they thanked him. The Prime Minister thanked Putin for clarifying the memory of the Holocaust. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about a relationship of people in the world making decisions to order other people to kill other people. And the hardship that puts on people everywhere. And nations everywhere. Did we miss that point? And other points? I can't even talk about all the stuff that starts to descend out of my mind about, boy, we have a whole lot to talk about here, folks, if we're going to get into a dialogue, kind of parse things through. But we don't have time behind the woodshed each week. I just really can't get to it, enough of it. I don't understand really some point. I don't know why I continue to talk. Really, right now, I've explained everything that I've needed to explain, except I still hear people are hesitating on the danger that's coming down upon them that needs to be dealt with. I don't want to see people hurt. I don't want to see people hurt when they could have stepped up and done some things to protect themselves, like step out the way. Then this little story, I haven't been able to qualify this. This puts a whole nother shade of things on it, and it's just one of those rulers that were the ruler, the one that's making decisions to call people into harm's way, whether or not, you know, I'm not going to get on either side of justifying it. I think you can pretty well tell where the West is not stepping in, and Russia has essentially a civil war problem on their hands, and there was threats, and the ones that are making the imposition were the threateners that had a different way to go. I think you've heard me over the weeks to probably, well, I haven't said probably, I am leaning toward the side that Russia has its rights because Ukraine really didn't have any. It was created with limitations. That president is not a sovereign, actually. And if I capitulate those things to the West and not to Russia, I destroy myself and my property rights where I'm at. And the contract and the honor and all that stuff I hold dear, if you will. And so I've got, there's another thought in my mind about how this all works and how we perceive it working. I certainly can be in error. I don't have many people at all, actually none, that will explain a potential error with any support for their position. Most of the time I just get, oh, you just criticism. And that's okay. I guess I can get that. But no support comes with foundational experience, foundational knowledge, foundational objective basis. I don't see any of it, a lot of it, in the whole world. I do see it being played out in Russia's side. I do see their point. Whether or not I like the war and watching all the young guys dying and the girls dying, I don't know. You know, that's just not happening to me. However, we are fallen, and I don't know where more to go. But Putin, the surprise here, it answers something again. Here, there's a test. I've noticed over a few months that Putin was looking a little bit under it. And I don't know if this story is true, but the last picture I saw was Putin looked like he had a death grip on the side of a by the table. And it looked like he was not feeling good at all. His posture was terrible in the chair, worse than sometimes I've seen it before. And he had a problem with kicking his foot that was just, I believe that there wasn't something wrong with him. Well, it comes out later, a couple days later, Putin to undergo cancer surgery transfers power to ex-FSB chief, which is their internal security police chief, and they've had their discussions. Apparently, he may have prostate cancer. The stress I saw in the last picture and his response apparently must be real, not knowing. This is a really big deal that I haven't heard too much more about. It's not a big deal in a way that, you know, we've had presidents of the United States have to take surgery and hand power off for a few days or so. This surgery has the ability to be a death surgery for Putin as well. So this is a serious ramifications. And my first thought was, who gave him cancer? That's a conspiracy idea. But interesting that it all comes up at this time. But Russia and this idea may have this could be a very big play going on within the context, not a play of Putin getting sick and taken out. They don't have to die. He just gets incapacitated. And then who comes in the middle of what they've done is a very interesting times. We're going to watch some very interesting conditions, I think, if this is true. And I just lay this out there. He did look like he's over a few months. I've noticed he just doesn't seem to be. I don't know. Anybody who has a pain, I just care for them. I'd rather have them feeling good. You never know when they get in too much pain what they're thinking. And what they tolerate and what they don't. So not to put that as an excuse of what else is going on, but serious consideration here where Putin is to go get incapacitated at some point right in the middle of, he's apparently the mind and the final decision to move forward in, when you look at this condition in the world is in a way it's because of the threats now and then we get now to the nuclear. Russia, and I don't have these links, so you can go find them. Russia's saying that the West is not taking, NATO is not taking seriously this threat that they're bringing Russia to. And I said, give weight to the Russians' words. This is not a cool thing. And you don't want a nation to feel threatened because their leader just got incapacitated, even though it may not have been from a foreign attack. Who knows? But this brings everything a lot closer to reality. Not the hyperbole, no saber rattling. And we want to have our head on a swivel about that, if I can use that idea. And anybody around a decision-making center, as we talked last week in the Sarmat ICBM that Russia just rolled out, anybody around a decision-making center or a economic center should be considerate of maybe looking into what you do during a nuclear attack. Don't underestimate the winds. And consider the weather and look forward to that because you're going to want to be upwind and outside of any future wind as the problem for you is particles. And I'll move on from there because this becomes the point that it's becoming more and more prevalent. They keep talking about it. I'm hoping it's continuing saber rattling, but when you have the leader of the nation going down in incapacity and then the West takes advantage of that to make them do a head fake and they take it for real, some people are going to die by accident. Accident in air quotes. And moving through into what I was saying before, the Zionist in undercover, the transparent Zionist in through this whole thing. Zakharov, the minister there, the press minister, states that the Israeli mercenaries in Ukraine are at war with Azovs against the Russians. So while Russia, while Israel is being offended by what Lavrov said, they ask for apology from Russia and get it. They are attacking the Russian soldier in Ukraine. And I look at that, I go, what's wrong with that picture? Well, there's a lot, to, I guess, to say about it. Anybody with any kind of thought in their brain should see there's a problem. I tell you, this is a this elephant in the room that is working both sides is really a phenomenal player in this. And it really needs to be focused on and stopped because it's fomenting this whole thing. But, okay, well, this is kind of an stop, you know, this is an outlandish statement. How is Israeli mercenaries working to kill Russians? I mean, is that true? This statement came immediately after the request of the chief rabbi of Russia that Lavrov apologize from the statement he considered very offensive, while the chief rabbi of Moscow suddenly left Russia and went to Israel, claiming that his father fell ill. We remind you that Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov stated a few days ago the fact that that Zelensky is a green Jew does not mean that he is not a Nazi, since Hitler was also of Jewish blood, as they're trying to rephrase it. The point is, I get back to Israeli mercenaries killing Russian soldiers while the prime minister goes and states that he wants an apology for the statement to protect those of the Holocaust, purportedly killed by the same Nazis? Are you kidding me? What kind of stupid circle are we looking at here? Again, these tabs you can read through, this is one from, I think, a Serbia website. And so, again, I don't know what to say. I'm just trying to find the information where I can that gives me at least information I can pour through and have to filter out things. But the main thread here is how absurd are we looking that Israeli missionaries are killing Russians, protecting the Nazis, that they're complaining Lavrov was insulting in denying the Holocaust victims. Did it stop making sense for you folks? Long time ago. So you start focusing on who the agent of that change is. And then I want to show you, is Zakharyev blowing smoke here? Is this the big sensational? Well, they posted on their website from Haaretz, I understand. We're on the story of Russia doubles down. And we see here a photo originally published on May 1st, reportedly, now, so we go to the reportedly, shows two Israeli volunteers, Ukrainian Territorial Defense Forces, under the scope of Ukrainian International Legion, somewhere on the Ukrainian front lines as part of a recon squad alongside of a blurred corpse. And you look at the corpse and you look at the coloring and it's really hard to tell. I couldn't tell you who that gentleman there that's dead. In the back, that they're doing the thumb up and the little finger out, sniper-looking guys. There's a dead body, and it looks very much like they might be in a Russian soldier there. It's being advertised as being a trophy, if you will, from an Israeli mercenary killing Russian soldiers. But my point on this is, when did this all stop making sense? That supposed Jews who were killed in the Holocaust through an Israeli prime minister asked for apologies for Russia stopping the very thing that killed them off. Unless the Israelis are Zionists, not Jewish at all, and they're using as a stalking horse Jewish people. Like the UN uses the women, children, and the indigenous. Yes, I'm back to that. The false front spaghetti western running props out front. And it just, again, when it stops making sense, you better start making sense of it. And I'm suggesting to you that when you see this influence, this undue influence in the world over there, the global extent of this tentacle, the tentacles of this, is affecting you, my listener. However distasteful that might sound to you to have to consider, this is part of my consideration, not all of it, but part of it that plays into how all this is working against us and where we might be able to address some of it. Yes, it's a lot to think about, but in a war, I don't know how people cannot see the war against us. In a war, you have to make these considerations. You don't want to be surprised. Whether or not you can do a thing about it, I don't know yet. I just don't see enough work doing something that we even see failures actually see what appears to be failures to be successes if we knew how to look at them. And if you start to understand what I just said there, we get to see through like the silence of a supposed victory we expected, there's still a victory going on. You just got to figure out what that is and you start targeting the unseen. And that's a whole other view that you don't, you're working on inside the unseen. And that takes it, that's not just an intellect that you're working with. So here we have a potential, looks to me, legitimate proof of an Israeli pair, a sniper pair with a corpse that looks like it's a Russian soldier uniform, but it's blurred out. You can't see it. I don't have the technology to de-digitalize it. Maybe some of you do. You can tell me whether or not that body against the tree is a Russian soldier, that they are, Israel is killing Russian soldiers, which are Israel working on the side of the Nazis, which they just demanded an apology from Putin over insulting the Holocaust. Okay, so this elephant in the room, as I said, it's global. It has its tentacles everywhere. It is the economic system of the world. Unless you create one that's separate, it is the thing that you will be living by. Institute of Curriculum Services, how an Israeli lobby group infiltrated U.S. education. Change the word Israeli to Zionist. And you're going to start to hopefully see a better thing, and you won't be insulted by the change, and you'll be able to start look more clearly at this. Again, it sounds true. The worst anti-Semite is the Zionist, and they do it under color of being Jewish. In fact, Russia, I didn't even know that Russia has a name for that. It's called a green Jew. Green, interestingly, is sustainability, too. But don't miss the point. They're working toward that. They're all working to the unified future. This story from Mit Press News, which seems to really have some good research, so I give it more credit for the research it does than to say no as I move along trying to distill information and filter through it. In 2018, the Virginia Coalition for Human Rights successfully stopped the state from adopting textbook edits made by the Institute for Curriculum Services, a pro-Israel educational institution, again, changed Israel to Zionist. Pro-Zionist, it's a political condition. It's happened since before the 1900s, the end of the 18, even before the middle 1800s, but more notably at the end of the 1800s. This is not something new. The ICS promotes itself as improving the accuracy of K-12 instructions on Judaism and Jewish history in the United States, yet backed by the Israel lobby, its strategy appears more in line with advocating a Zionist narrative than enhancing education. And so you can make your own, you look through this and make your own determination. I tend to agree with most of what I'm seeing here. They give you the pathway to go check it out Jessica Boxbaum note here relative to this discussion. And they're moving inside and infiltrating your system. And the same spirit comes in and it's doing all the cancel culture stuff that you know about, all the so-called higher education modifications. It's the common core. It's all inside this sustainable condition. And it's not sustainable for your welfare, sustainable for their condition. And it goes on, again, on and on. I can't barely touch all this information that we could go on and talk about for weeks and weeks. I want you to jump on this stuff, see it. Make your thoughts if it's in a subject matter that interests you. You're a mother or a father, and you start looking around your states, and you see how even the basics of this go on, and you start seeing the same conditioning going on around your little ones, and you still think you want to have your sons and daughters in public education at all, then you need to engage and so that these people don't convert your little ones' minds into being the future oppressor or soldier of the oppressor. And so this is on education. I'm doing a transition now with the elephant in the room. The Zionist impression here on everything it touches for the future they want, which is economic control and other control. They're going to use technology to do it. They're not the only one, but they're one of the main points we can focus on. I can get you focused on here. The other ones take a lot more discussion and development. However, it doesn't matter. You either get aware of this and start to work on your attack surfaces that you're being attacked from, limit those, or you're going to be brought into this fold. I don't know what else to say. So what they've now, the new iteration has to do with the looking at this, and I keep saying that there's this over-representation of these Zionist viewpoints. The United States government is just full of it now. It's really a type of a cancer, it seems. I have no thought on judgment on anyone. I see that it all works to no good, and I was told that things work too good, so they don't work that way on their own, apparently, because what's going on now is not working to so good, to anything such a good deal. It looks like we can use the word dystopian, Orwellian future, Ellis Huxley instructed type of exposures. But the point is that that's, if we're told that and we don't act, and these people are to put us there, shame on us. Whereas many people don't want to put shame and use shame. Well, I don't know what else to say in the shortness of this broadcast to explain how dire and irresponsible it would be to allow it. The education system has been, this is just new now from this report, it's been toast for a long time. My focus was on academia causing our problems. Academia was behind the lawsuit in 2013, JMD versus Kitzhaber. It's one of the agencies that is supporting what we sued and intended to enjoin. Well, it was a default. That any of the agents of the promotion of that subject matter are estopped as well. Academia was one of them. If you don't understand what I'm saying, this is not a newfound, we're just now focusing on these folks and these people to some prejudice. No, these people are soldiers and actors in a transforming world, transforming to their outcome. These over-representations are real and actual. And so we move on to education. Education is what? The ability to speak. You got the ability to freedom to speak. You also have the reverse of that is the ability to know, or what you know. And this brings me back on to this elephant in the room connection, or as best as we can see in this new minister of the truth ministry of the United States government they're putting in place, Jankowicz's name and meaning and the crest and the coat of arms, looking at the girl that they're putting in, Nina, into this, 33 years old, interesting age. Interesting that she has any experience to say, but it's not about that. But the question is, with the last name and with the overrepresentation, and we see that they're willing to infiltrate education systems and win favor in education systems to miseducate your little ones with your permission, however that they've derived it. Who is this new office holder? We want to know who they are, and the question comes, it has come up, with her name that way, is she Jewish? We know surnames are important. Well, this is an interesting lady here on getting straight facts from. We don't know much about it, and I don't know that many people do. I found three links, and I'm just going to go on the surface of this, and that's all I'm going to talk about. And what I'm going to rely on is what they say here, and I want you to look at where she comes from and what countries are in play right now. And then relative to what she says herself is her ancestry. And we just quickly go, the surname Jankowicz was first found in Polesie, the largest province in Poland. It is inhabited by Ruthenians called Polesians of Ukrainian descent. The main towns are, and the name, I'm not reading on it. The point is that her family, by name, originates in the areas of Ukraine and actually are as a Polish name. So highlight today what's going on. Well, they're looking like they're bifurcating, you're dismembering Ukraine, and now Poland wants their land back of the people that are typically Ukrainian, but Ukrainian is a modern fiction. So this family is a well-placed family in that land. This is like an elite. When you look at the crest name. Well, let's move on. Who is Nina? Who is Nina Jankowicz? And then we just have a Celebrilla website. I just take on the surface. This website will give us some information. I just want to move this. And the next one, which is similar, the AncestryAndStory.com website, talking about who is this woman. Beyond the celebrity, and we read that she herself admits to being of Jewish descent from Ukrainian area, this newer one, which is actually apparently Poland, which is the other problem in the World War. It got Poland wants its land back, and Russia apparently may be okay with that if I look past Russian humor. But right now, Nina Jankowicz, 33, looks like by her own words, is of Jewish, and I would have to say this because of what she's promoting, cancel culture, censorship of language, censorship of knowledge, she has to be actually Zionist. She's from their family, her history would be from that area. My question is that her name or is that her husband's name and does it matter? She admits to being from that area and with that background. Is now a new party put into the current Biden regime that has this mindset of oppression. And why anybody with a free mind is saying this whole thing is no good. In fact, I don't have another link here, but there is apparently someone putting an act before Congress, I think, to outlaw the Ministry of Truth in the United States government underneath the Department of Homeland Security. Although that bill admits as if it the Department of Homeland Security is needed. So I have a little problem with all that, partly why I didn't list it here. But just as a thought, my thoughts go through. There's lots of stuff to read and consider. What are these people doing? They're coming to your neighborhood now. They're in the United States. They have this mentality coming right from the hub of where there's a purported war that's supposed to have parties that are antagonistic to each other. And I'm suggesting look a little bit deeper and you're going to see there's a continuum between both sides. And that's kind of proven when you see the so-called Israelis coming in to kill Russians and complain that the Holocaust victims are being disrespected. So I don't know too much about this Nina Jankowicz, just to know we can find from her words, her posts, her social media consent in what she stated, that she is from this group of people in the area that's under supposed attack and has proclivities toward one of the parties, counter actually to Russia on the surface, because that's, again, be careful of the layers here. Would this Polish influence of the Ukrainian peoples, the Polisians, have any favor with Russia? Well, maybe. And this comes from the Gonzalo Lira dude that got himself lost. He got lost for a week and came back. And he's still plugging away. I got a little tweet here. And he says, this is huge. If this statement, again, these are questions because we really don't know. And I'll tell you, the Russian humor, that cold, calculating humor is very, very, it's actually funny. And it's interesting. I always have to make two or three options when they speak. Well, the statement of Medvedev is true. If this statement is true, the Russians just signaled that it will accept Polish troops in western Ukraine. He says, if this is true, then it's happening. It's happening, folks. It sounds like Q all the time. It bothers me. We had that last night. Everything's always, it's happening. Well, it's been happening. It's happening, the dismemberment of Ukraine. So if Medvedev is correct in his observation, allowing Polish troops in, this plan was to allow the dismemberment of Ukraine. And the Poles get something for this as well, for all the offense that they seem to be placing against the Russians. Right where this new minister of truth sits in her ancestry and proclivities of inspiration. To me, I just see a connective tissue. It's the same cancerous condition. And I'm doing this because it's obvious to see that there, that I think when you see how that organism works, that parasitic organism works, you may be able to see it at home around your neck of the woods, around your neck. When you understand, I just dropped you back to the education system and said, this is the same influence. It's an influence that insults the Jewish people in the Holocaust. But under that color, asks for apologies. And Russia was willing to give it. And I think that may have been the pragmatic answer, although I don't know, because we also have stories that Putin is of the same persuasion. So it may, as I said, I said this earlier, it looked like that they were going to split Ukraine down to, there was a main road and river system. They were going to split it right there. Russia's plans went to there. Never was to take over Kyiv, was it? They could. Moldova, Transnistria is starting to fire up right now, so I don't know, but that's still in the south, isn't it? And Russia took this east and all the south and access to the ports. Perfect. You're going to landlock that land, or Poland takes it. Whether Poland is completely landlocked, I don't remember now. But this looks like a plan, folks. I don't know what more. If this is true, if this wasn't dry Russian humor, I left read that. I go, yeah, we don't know, do we? These people are pretty sharp. They play their cards close to their vest, don't they, the Russians? And so we see, I hope, the underlying sinew of a deception going on. The elephant in the room being in complete agreement and control and gaining capitulation from Russia, even though they're insulting the very people they claim to be indignant about the insult to them about. And this just runs cover for the political establishment called the Israelis. Again, the only distinction I can just show to quickly say, they insist to call themselves a state of Israel, not the nation of Israel. And to my mind, technically, the nation of Israel was a people. The state is this condition. They're making that distinction. I'll accept it. I don't have to accept them. I accept that they're making the distinction, and I make my analysis as you should too. However you come to your facts, you come to your determinations based on what they're admitting. The other thing is, do they lie about that? They have never lied about being adamant about that title. And so they're consistent. And so now, okay, so we're watching, if you see this lie going on and what they're actually fighting for, this is just a carving up. It looks like the carving up that I observed could be happening. I'm not in the plan, so what do I know? But look, it's coming forward that they could be agreeing to the carve up of Ukraine. And who's helping all that? Kyiv is not involved, actually. It's going to be just on the west side, the other side of the tracks. The Poles, which are in NATO, are going to get that. They're going to make another style of border. I'm not sure what that does politically. That's not for us today. But we see the Pentagon dumping a lot of effort into Ukraine. And I said, why would they be dumping all this stuff in if they're going to... You're seeing the Russians taking all the technology, all the military technology, as outdated as some of it is, as dangerous as it is to the Ukraine soldiers that aren't being trained in it. They're allowing a lot of stuff to go in. Why would the United States and all the Western nations dump a lot of stuff and material into that area if they knew there was going to be stolen back a prize of war from Russia, unless that wasn't going to be taken, and that's the known plan ahead of time? It's an open question. But I think what we're looking at in all this, that the Pentagon, and we're going to get now to the story of the Pentagon, an American company spent $224 million on biolabs in the Ukraine. Now we're going to melding the pharma complex with really it's all part of the corruption industrial complex, and moving from back into the pharma biolabs. The Corona-19, as I've said, is the excuse here used to execute the most open transfer of illicit funds to organized criminals in history. That's what they did under COVID. Ukraine is the military-industrial complex saying, hold my beer. And you see the melding of this together in this story. The Pentagon, an American company, spent $224 million on biolabs in Ukraine, which is a drop in the bucket when you're getting billions poured into there. And who benefits? They're getting rid of all the stockpiles in the West, the bad equipment, and they're being replaced by the newer technology in the West, and all that is contributing into a debt load onto what will be surviving as Ukraine under lend-lease in some instances. The analysis of the obtained documents enabled us to clearly identify people who are involved in military biological activities in Ukraine, including representatives of the United States Department of Defense related companies. Bastrykin said, who is the investigative, he's part of the head of the investigative committee of Russia relative to this thing they found in the biolabs in Ukraine. So again, we got more confirmation Pentagon was involved. I'm explaining this is part of the scam. This is, again, the military industrial complex looked at what they did, what the United States allowed the pharma companies to do, and said, hold my beer. And this is really, again, economics. This is like they're going to take back what they thought the jab was going to do. They're going to then do it with what? What they resort to all the time. War. Or the appearance of war. Well, we heard there was going to be rumors of wars, didn't we, in a Bible book, if those of us that read it. Told to me by people who did read it almost scholarly and said that to me back in the 70s and 80s. It says it right there. And so, take cognizance of this, at least. We have more. We move the $224 million, and we move this now, move into $4 billion in counting the D.C. war machine feasts on Ukraine. Okay? The military-industrial complex looked at COVID-19 and said, hold my beer, Stein. After going to a full administration without a new war to fill their coffers, the D.C. defense industry has finally found their next big prize. After dismissing the prospect of diplomacy, why would they do that? But they did. See, diplomacy means nothing to the buck. Between Ukraine and Russia, the Biden administration continues to flood of Ukraine with an endless supply of military hardware while using extra constitutional means to perpetually lengthen the size and scope of Americans' involvement in the Russian-Ukraine war. Boy, that's a major concept there at the end, extra constitutional. You think that's lawful? See, none of it is. And we're all allowing it. The government allows it. The Congress allows it. They actually foment it. This is your United States is just one big corporation giving license to other corporations. In this story, the $4 billion counting the D.C. war machine feasts on Ukraine. The next paragraph is in the story of this, not the next paragraph, but the next story that they actually attached to this was actually the Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson had their time to shine, but now it's the defense contractor's time to hoover up all it can from the taxpayer-funded Beltway regime. And so we see this transition, just got ongoing fraud and exploitation, and the people agree noddingly. Their full faith and credit is completely exploited again over and over on whatever fabricated emergency they need to. And it's not, okay, what do we do about it? I don't know, except that we could have stopped the harma. And I'm sure that if we amassed ourselves together to start to really send the message to the people who supposedly represent you, then we could probably have an impact. But these things are set up to divide us. In fact, I'm not going to talk about something that's a draft consideration of the Supreme Court that's come down or potentially so to come out in the future. I may address it in the future. They're dividing, they're driving, they're figuring out all the wedges they can drive to society so that we don't come together. We don't see the connections. We don't find the sinews and go and get our knife and cut the sinews of foreign attachment and servitudes. We don't stop them from being inside our country. That, as I said, this is just the corruption industrial complex. You're watching it in its true form, how it works out. It's a caucusocracy. The worst rises to the top and rules everything, and no one seems to notice and no one seems to care. And if you notice, you just kind of get disgruntled and walk away because there's nothing you can do about it. Well, there is some things, and I think that comes with more people doing it. Again, we can't look at the whole, we can't eat the whole thing. We have to start somewhere. And if we haven't ever been practiced, you can't even think about something that you've never done before that you start doing and you find out how uncoordinated you are. And after a little bit of practice, pretty soon you're feeling pretty good about yourself until you find the kid down the street that he grew up that way. But point is that you couldn't even chew gum and walk at the same time, and you wondered why it was so tough, and then you started doing it. and you realize that maybe it's not so hard. But what I'm asking you to do to stop this stuff local to you, protect yourself local to you. The shortages look like they're happening. Protect yourself as best you can. Those you can't, get in league with people. When no government official comes after you, learn how you stop them. Typically, it'll be a jurisdictional challenge. Learn what that is. Learn to write your letter now before the pressure comes on. I get so many people so many months behind the problem, and they try to ask me for help. It's almost sometimes almost impossible unless because it's just so much involved. Because you have to undo things that have been done wrongly. But getting back over onto our problem here, again, the Hold My Beer group, and it's going on, boy, they really nuts. 1991, all this money dumped into this little space over there called in Ukraine, maybe planned to be dismembered as a plan ahead of time. They didn't need to do all, if that's the case, they didn't need to do any of this. Nobody needed to die, did they? This is what I was telling you. Watch out. Be careful what the truth is that we start to find here. Who played what? 1991, this is when the America tried to keep Ukraine in the USSR. The United States government today likes to pretend that it is a perennial champion of political independence for countries that were once behind the Iron Curtain. What is often forgotten, however, is that in the days following the fall of the Berlin Wall, Washington opposed independence for Soviet republics like Ukraine and the Baltic states. And so this is a state, this is just a fabricated condition. We say flip-flopping. Well, it's not really just flip-flopping because it's geopolitics. It has nothing. The players are not people of any religious persuasion or any particular thing that people think can be a discrimination. This is politics. Geopolitics, again, global scale stuff. United States didn't want this place divided. Well, now it does. And you see, it does when the corruption industrial complex wants payment. And so on the backdrop of all you're seeing in Ukraine was this complete flip-flop of the United States that didn't want the separation, wanted, if you will, the unification of that condition, didn't want the turmoil, that expensive, again, they must sell that stuff by the gallon, not the 55-gallon drum, but it has to be liter now, doesn't it? They sell it by the liter now, and it's very expensive what turmoil costs anymore. It's your life. But here we have another story as I've been, again, going on. It's like a natural progression. If you do any thought about this, the truth is out there to find it. Given that the United States wanted it together, why is it putting so much money into a place that it wanted to keep together? Unless this is just corruption gone mad, psychopaths looking for profit. You're really at your expense, because this is, again, the methodology of your destruction at home or any other place. And so in this incongruity, the hypocrisy of this historic condition, the dumping of funds, again, all this money going in, not one bit comes home to help solve anything we have here in the United States relative to the supply chain, the funding of the getting back the processes back that are being destroyed for some reason all of a sudden, getting the shipments going where they need to go, get the parts, go the government going out and being your advocate and saying we're going to pay for production now. Well, maybe even better, we're going to bring all that production back home. And we're going to start making your parts. And we know we have the war spirit because we did it and we proved it to ourselves in World War II. We can, in 30 days, we're going to be making stuff for you to buy behind the times and now getting behind the woodshed on the miscreant of the problem. We're going to solve that. None of this money went back to the United States to solve any of our problems. It, again, has to be a plan. No, it gets dumped into this place that the United States said used in the past we want it to stay together. Total fraud. Again, fraud is ruling the day. I don't know what more to say. The fraud and corruption. We got nonfeasance, maladministration, malfeasance as the top tier now, and people are saying apparently that they're okay with that. We come from a regime, if you will. Again, all my experience with these people, or particularly this next guy, is not, it didn't gel with a lot of the hype people told themselves all this time, this political knowledge in the government existed. We had the past President Trump in that. Past President Trump in moving at warp speed this corruption industrial complex relative to pharma harma comes out today when he's not making decisions. Said this wouldn't happen in Ukraine if I was on top. We will never, ever know that. But we see him today on a question here, again, not from the United States, not from mainstream media, from Serbia, if I get this right, from their website, of all places. Why does Trump predict the collapse of the United States? Donald Trump estimated the United States could disintegrate by 2024. Of course, he attributes this possibility to the incompetence of Joseph Biden. But Trump is not the only one with such a forecast. The statement in quote here is, if a country, it was done by a professor, I think. Yeah, Professor Barbara Voltaire. Interesting name, correlating in history. If a country came to my research table whose indicators completely match the data we have for the United States, I would put it in the category, there is a risk of civil war. And I'm going to say, without fear-mongering, take that analysis and make it valuable to you and start to look to avoid that. They're driving wedges everywhere to provide the ability to make so-called civil war. I told you the reflection of the Ukraine is back on us, this carnival mirror. I've called what's over there a civil war of sorts. It's going to reflect back. Now, the analysis comes that President Trump is making his statements. He is essentially, if you will, in his promotions, driving the wedge. This is politics more than anything else. He's predicting a 2024. You got to get quite a ways into the article before we start talking back in his point. But they're responding to a professor that takes everything they would take and saying, we are in a strife in the United States. And it's building. And there's no political leadership to avoid it. And the political leadership, so-called, that was there, actually built it up to allow it. And so before we get too lopsided on who we support, one way or the other, I'm suggesting that you look very strongly at Ukraine as identifying for you the transparent sinew of the parasitic amoeba, which is actually already in your life, wherever you are in the rule of law and democracy realm. The overrepresentation of the cancerous cells is around us at every turn in the products that are at issue from them, in myriad corporate, if you will, corporate and non-profit organizations as well. As I've identified for you, the your Title 42 Civil Rights C says that these non-profits cannot undermine this rule. Was showing you that the future was saying non-profits, if non-governmental organizations actually, would be in control, but they couldn't undermine the servitude created by the Title 42 Civil Rights Act. And I will touch now, that draft proposal removing Roe versus Wade, I'm seeing people talk to it right now. They see there's a problem with talking about the decision, draft decision talks around the constitutional antecedent rights. Everyone's complaining that they see the problem, but will embrace that. You got to go look really carefully. They condition that, if I understand what I've seen the excerpts from, they condition that through the 14th Amendment is Title 42 civil rights. Exactions of every kind, you only get the rights you're gave. They're, if you will, political rights, those inalienable, not unalienable. So before we get, and this is why I didn't want to get too far into this, there's so much to really look at. That's another style of deception. We're seeing it all over. It is the model of how we get bought into certain things, and we tend to forget if it was fraud to start, it's going to be fraud to the finish. No matter how they adjust it, is the continuing condition here. The fraud that you think that you have leaders that are actually representing you, when the evidence is that, no, at warp speed, they're running corruption out there. And they don't have to be held to their statements when they're not in the office. And we miss that point. And we then therefore think that there's a savior in the next thing. Don't even look past. We don't have to look too far back to find out that never happens. And as a people, we have a different responsibility real soon here. It's something I want, I have to, that's why I keep talking. I don't see enough people seeing them. At some point, I don't know if it's going to happen. We're going to have to, even in passing, talk about certain important things on what's your take on this, what's your take on that, and then think about that, and then formulate ideas on where best we might be able to make changes. Right now, it's in your home. Right now, it's inside you and in your home. That's how back up in the war that we're in right now. You know, as I've been talked a long time ago, you know, the despair that's there. You know, I've said before, while the war is on, there's no time to shed a tear. That tear will be shed when the war is won. Otherwise, I'm going to die trying to stop the war and then make it better. There's no time for the emotion. Really is not. At least I have no other way to deal with it. You got to forego all the disaster, all the I don't know what to call all the words, the destruction around people and in people. You just got to push that aside and look at go for the cause. Don't touch the effect. And each one of us is being abused that way. So it's a very difficult step forward initially as well. But once you get on the road, like for what it seems to me, it's like you're just, that drives you. And you have that in you. When you gain that, it's difficult. You still have obstructions, but you have more, you can push through. It's not like all thing works great for me. It takes a lot of time sometimes to work out how to confront something. And right now, like for our petition on the criminal thing, how do you deal with the silence of these corruptions? It's really not so simple. And there's no help. So it's quite a vast thing to consider and quite, if you will, depressing. But there's no time for depression for us. We really have to gird thy loins, I guess we're told. So we have in this article the drumbeat of civil separation, of divorce, as they mention in this thing. They mention, again, in the story, the change of Oregon borders of Greater Idaho, a movement that's happened to remove southern and eastern Oregon and put them in Idaho and called it the Greater Idaho. These are all, we've done the analysis on this, the amount of time it would take to do this lawfully, and they mentioned all the obstructions because you have to get permissions of the state legislature and Congress. Go back to your Constitution. It still works, folks. They have to go back through this. This is really not, to my mind, doing the analysis, a time well spent. And it's fraught with a bunch of problems and a bunch of ideas. But this is what's promoted in here. More division, actually, in an article pointing out that this is a future civil war scenario. No one's integrating with what exists and pulling together what was supposed to be and then challenging in a substantial way those that are misguiding, malfeasance, nonfeasance, misfeasance even, maladministration, in a word, the organic government, which is much quicker to get at if we would just take all this same energy and do it to bring ourselves back together. Not for the sake of unity, but for the sake of a mutual defense in a system of a republic that honored these things that we thought were rights and certainly our property. I think that's the main, for my focus, it begins in the land. And you look at the rights that issue from that, a pertinent that as an obligation against the government. You don't get into the inalienable things. You stay in the unalienable and or obligation grant side, trust obligations of government. See, inalienable, as you'll find out through the 14th Amendment, is a tax on you. It's also a tax. It's a tax on you and attack on you that you can agree sits there. You can notice that you're not actually, oh, heck, that decision doesn't speak to the antecedent rights in the Constitution. It speaks that they're subject to the Constitution. That's not an unalienable right. That's an inalienable right that the government has pretended to acquire to itself that it can disseminate still. So I'm getting off. I'll get off quick. The irreconcilable hostile in the United States now, in these irreconcilably hostile red and blue enclaves will go through their way ignoring the current rules of the game. After all, we have seen such a film many times in various countries over the past decades. Why would the U.S. be an exception? Well, That would be a good question, but why it doesn't have to be is the point. And what are the rules of the game? See, they want to talk about the rules of the game in Ukraine. Is this magic invented rule that Milley talked about, the rules of the international order that was never written, and Russia called that out. This is the same question written by this academic. But the rules of the game are the objective basis of inorganic established government that I'm talking to you about asserting. So don't ignore those rules. Let the oppressor attempt to ignore it, then call it out that it's ignoring the rules, like I was doing for COVID. And just going back to the communicable disease statute, say, hey, there's five steps you have to do in minimum before you even get close. And you didn't do it, so you're without jurisdiction. You have no authority, because there is no jurisdiction. And therefore, everything you've done is in a breach. It's a trust breach. It's a breach of your oath. It's a breach of the organic establishment. It breaches, most importantly, the due process that was required by government to do anything. And I just said a real quick little pair, you know, you could put that together and that would probably cover quite a bit as the background reason for what the official didn't do. Did I make that up? Yeah, I made it up out of the words that I read that were objective basis. So that was a standard. And I'm speaking to the consequence there. So what are you're ignoring the current rules of the game. It's exactly what I'm telling you all to stop doing. You don't listen to their rules of the game. You do like Russia, like I said. Look at the saw with the sovereign. They called out the West, the United States, the economic attacker, the war maker. They called out this special rulemaking that they just imposed unilaterally. It has no base, no jurisdiction to do so, cannot interfere with the jurisdiction of the sovereign jurisdiction of Russia or any sovereign. And they just said, that's a fraud. We're not. What are these magical rules? You might as well just agree that we have a pink fluffy unicorn dancing on rainbows, because it doesn't mean anything. And that's what I've asked you again. I think that academic points it out, that she just doesn't define what the rules are. I'm suggesting it's your organic establishment and calling out every violation to that, whether or not it looks like it's doing any good, whether or not it's relief at the time, whether or not it even brings more trouble to you. Which, again, I think is a condition of not having enough people really moving in mass to really give people the idea they can stop your cops, stop your haughty decision-making that you think that you're representing me. No, there's too many of us now. We've caught you. And we've caught you outside the law. So before you have a voice, you're going to have to start showing how you're compliant. And no, your attorney's dismissiveness out there, your advice about the attorneys is not going to fly anymore. That's the problem. And the division continues as we start to see license. It's not, and this is the interest, the plausible license that starts to come forward. It's actually, they're telling you the truth of what everybody has the right to, but they do it for in certain places to bring up this problem of the red and blue enclave isolation mentality that starts to build a different thing, a different condition, a different mindset that actually foments this. And so, again, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. When I say this, again, the Second Amendment, it's not a Second Amendment at all. You have the right to defend yourself. It has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment was the discussion in a contract form, if you will, of a prohibition against government interference, the interference of which was never stopped when the Bar Association got involved, or pre-bar, before they got that together, in interfering. But here we have Florida Sheriff. And I mean, I can just hear all the people, the Second Amendment folks, rah, 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 great, great, great sheriff. Well, we don't hear this statement across the country and then in the right context. It doesn't mean that what I'm saying here, he's wrong, and that the support for the support is wrong. This is setting up a mindset that is dangerous. It gets us to move outside of our responsibility. And it's almost a license that somehow we don't have any further thing to think about. Florida Sheriff, we prefer homeowners shoot burglars to save taxpayer money. Now, I know a lot of people would take that sentiment on the surface of that and say, big, that's right. That's a good, but see, that's not the good reason. And this is the problem I have with these statements coming out of, I suppose, a red enclave, with these sheriffs that sound as if they're speaking out of the Constitution. but then they hand it over. What does a taxpayer have to do with it? You see how that's an inalienable right, not an unalienable right? You're under taxation, and you're benefiting the taxpayer. It's not have anything to do with your right to defend yourself, your antecedent right. At any rate, I hope you, I don't know what else to say. There's so much to analyze how wrong this is and where it puts our mind frame, even though on the surface you're going, yeah, I agree. Yeah, I guess it would, but I don't care. I'm going to shoot the burglar anyway. Well, the problem is in some states, I don't know about Florida, but you can't just shoot someone in your house. Because you have a list of risks that you have to have in your mind that check all the boxes that you have to be able to restate to somebody, either the cop, the prosecutor, or the jury, that you have to be able to check all those boxes and they have to believe you before you get your right to defense. So this is also a dangerous statement. And yes, Texas is not, is the same point here. Yes, you defend your castle thing. Homeowners under attack by burglary don't need to retreat or try to escape, but rather stand their ground and, if necessary, use deadly force. If necessary, that's the caveat. Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson told residents, they're more than welcome to shoot burglars at a Thursday press conference after a crazed man went into a house invasion spree in the northwestern portion of the Sunshine State. Can't even say it because I'm not used to the sunshine yet. So, I hope I preface that in the negative to understand that we can be told this stuff and we can be supportive of it, but that we have some real other responsibilities. We can't really do under the cover of if necessary is an entire knowledge that needs to be had in people. Okay, so the sentiment is great, but that's not going to help us. This is not going to help us. It actually drives a wedge into our society. And I don't think that that sheriff was doing anybody any favors. He ought to have explained what the people's rights are, not that he would agree. They don't need to retreat. It may be you don't need to be retreating, but you better qualify that if necessary. You better do that. And I don't know about Florida. I haven't looked. Do you have the qualifications that you need to be able to state? What am I saying? We didn't know as minors, we had a minor shoot somebody because that guy, the guy that got shot, grabbed the shotgun of the minor and tugged on the shotgun. The fingers over the trigger got pulled by the assailant pulling on the shotgun and blew his arm off. And our minor, because he didn't trust the legal system, did not testify, and he was not advised, you know, we learning this after the fact, he was not advised he had to give the explanation why he was defending himself with a gun. And he spent, I think it was 12 years, I'll correct, 8 to 12 years in prison for defending himself against an attack out in the forest. Is why I'm telling you this. You don't have the right to defend yourself unless you can defend yourself in words by the standard. Is what I keep talking to you about behind the woodshed in all manner of subject matter. This was a day, to my mind, I agree, cool sounding, but folks, don't. We really have to put our thinking caps on about this stuff. These folks are not helping us. They're helping themselves. Taxpayer correlated to defense is not congruent. And then that taxpayer risk discussion is about your budget, not your right to defend yourself. And no word came out about that. No basis and foundation was given to the society by which they could defend themselves. In law. Signed as law, Alabama bans enforcement of federal gun control by executive order. This is from the 10th Amendment Center. What they have to do with any of this, I don't know, but this is how this starts to work. that should have been imposed upon the state that they didn't have to do this, and that should be stated on where the limited jurisdiction is, but they don't. And this is the problem I've been discussing with the co-owner of the mining property that we have with the Eisenhower document relative to the four jurisdictions that are riding on top of any public land that have to be determined, and the concurrent jurisdiction running in certain areas. There's, again, most people don't even think about this stuff. I have to constantly think about it. That's parsing through this. Yesterday, Alabama Governor Kay Ivey signed a bill into law prohibiting state and local enforcement of federal gun control by executive order. Where the feds have jurisdiction and make an order, does the state have the right to do that? Came to my mind immediately. Because when you look at all this stuff, you look at it's under commerce. All your crimes under federal law are under commerce. Congress has that determination. If a law is passed and they are in commerce, firearms are in commerce, and they've regulated them, does the state have authority? On the surface, I would say no. The sentiment sounds cool. It's a setup for the takedown in the future that no one maybe sees. It should be like that. We shouldn't even have to make the law. But there's no clarity on what the subject matter actually is. And that's been my problem watching people get themselves in trouble. I guess it kind of drives this as well. The enactment of this legislation takes a small step toward ending some federal acts that infringe on the right to keep and bear arms within the state. If it was a lawful federal act, it wouldn't infringe. But understand when they use the word firearm, what that starts to do. Hey, go back, you find the statute in federal law that most everything they charge you out with is a commercial crime. Then it starts to, you have to really put that into your equation. So it sounds great. Alabama's going to stand up. We're going to start to do the right to keep bare arms, this and that, against the federal government. I guess the other thing that irks me here, I just read a documentation of a transcript of a hearing that I think I saw the video of years and years and years ago, where it states in that hearing, a congressional hearing, that private property owners have no remedy, at least at law, have no remedy against a criminal acting federal officer, agent, employee. So it's not the law, it's the remedy that you need. And the bill that was passed to allow the remedy never got traction in Congress. If you think you're a free people, then those people are representing you. Anyway, okay, Alabama signed his law. You're going to resist the federal gun control. That just becomes more of a contention. They actually can be held up. The point is, I think it's a bit misguided in a way than to declare the state having to declare its autonomy as the sovereign and where it is and what the people in the state should do in order to be more on point. Like, don't say if necessary. Lay out the steps of qualifying that it's necessary. Let people know that, because I can tell you what, the sheriff came into the Jefferson Mining District meeting, and after the gentleman, the miner, got put in jail, he got convicted because he wouldn't defend himself, and he didn't trust the legal system, and the attorney was no good at all. The sheriff felt bad and said, here, this is what you need to know. You have a standard to meet, and it's these points. And if you don't meet that standard by an objective basis that someone believes you, you don't have the right to bear arms and defend yourself. It was a pretty big wake-up call for us. And that sheriff was one who happened to listen to what we as the Jefferson Mining District handed him with his open-door policy to say, we've got some serious problems in this mining law, serious problems with overreach for the federal government, serious problems with the county not stepping up to protect us. And we want you to know that. And he took importance with that. He ended up writing his own interpretation. He did use the Eisenhower volume documents, did identify the jurisdictions, and went through there. Why? Because jurisdiction's all important. He identified the county does have the essentially ultimate power relative to certain things within the county reserved that were not reserved to the federal government. He spoke through the law. I don't see anything like this in these new legislations that people, you say, look at me, I have this shield against all you all blue on the other side that don't have it. That's not a unified nation. That's a way to subvert the nation. And we can predict that we're going to have civil disorder, a civil war by 2024. Well, Trump didn't do anything to really stop it. Oh, blindsided as we might have been, what technocrats can do in the electronic realm to eliminate your rights and your what you're entitled, actually, what's yours. You know, people didn't miss that one. That we're seeing now in France, same problem. Amazing. Amazing. And we keep up. We keep going on and we keep supporting this. The people, the representatives, don't look at what's important and don't look forward. Enough to keep us off the danger zone. And we see this, again, going back to the Ukraine, the reflection. You're not going to have people in the United States and their officials looking forward. No, we show them that there's a problem and then they shut up and they don't respond. Not even to send you the go to hell letter. What the go to hell letter? Yeah, it's the one that says thank you for the letter, we'll get back to you. They don't even send that one. It's so bad. But we just go back over to Europe, find out how these people are just these leads, so-called leaders, just psychopaths. There's a different play going on. Can't understand the cause and effect of things. Don't think it out. Just continue to move and do stupid things. Russians are turning off the gas to the Croats, the Danes, the Dutch, and the French. Bulgarians and Poles do not seem to be the only ones left out and will soon be left without Russian gas. The next company to cut off will be Denmark's Ørsted, which buys up to 2 billion cubic meters of gas a year through Nord Stream, predicts Alexei Grivak, Deputy Director General of the National Energy Security Fund, Izvestia. The head of the Center of Energy Development, Kirill Melnikov, believes that after Denmark, several more countries will refuse to pay in rubles, thus remain without supplies. That's without energy. They didn't care to look at their obligations and their lack of ability to be self-reliant, certainly not self-sufficient. But they didn't care. They jumped on a political bandwagon. The leaders over there didn't think anything about their people. No different than the United States. The United States has done its own. Biden has done his own problem to cut their nose to spite their face. But see, it's not about rationale. It's a bunch of psychopaths looking for profit, control, and a future control. So you folks, and as I said, you're coming down upon you. The misaction, the malfeasance, the maladministration is putting people, hurting them, right where Greta was complaining. Oh my. At the same time this is going on, how these countries don't work consistent with their needs, even if they were looking for energy and to replace it, green energy no less, we see it, if that's what the problem was, which it's not, but that's the fiasco that they throw, the stalking horse that they throw in our face. We see it off a telegram, a report here. Rosatom is disappointed with the decision of the Finnish company to terminate the contract for the construction of a nuclear power plant. The decision was made, quote, without a detailed discussion at the level of shareholders of the project, close quote. There was no grounds for unilateral action, according to Rosatom. And it's really a strange decision when the energy crisis is getting closer and closer. No, folks, the energy crisis has been fabricated and it is here. And to cut their nose despite their face, they don't want to pay in rubles, which would give credit and acknowledgement to the Russian power at this point. No, they didn't think that far enough ahead. And they're so stupid that they're also not going to work. Existing contracts can be finished out. They're not going to even work with Russia in order to give themselves the nuclear power, which would be considered green. Notwithstanding all the dirty mining that has to go on to continue to feed that, but they will stop that project. Tells you this is not about energy. This is not about supplying you with what you need. This is about cutting you out of what you need. And they're using this as an excuse. I couldn't imagine how more stupid, STOOPID, this is than to stop that, cut your nose to spite your face. then you're building an energy producing center and also saying, I'm not going to use Russian oil. Under the auspices of Greta, we're going green. With quotes, remember. All politics, see? All politics. No rationale. This is the view of psychopaths looking for a way to execute the plan. And a little bit of what that plan is now. We go to a document that documents now a larger perspective. And a lot of it, I couldn't go through all the link. There's no way for me to go through. Some of you might be able to. It expands on this condition of what we're actually under. Why things stop making sense. Why decisions are made that make literally no sense. No forethought, no protections, no securities. Even if you agreed with the having to stop what's going on in Ukraine as a war, that your nations didn't look forward enough in order to look into alternatives themselves. It's not a model you want to follow. But here's why they're not following it, I think, in a synopsis, a fairly long article called The Acorn, number 73. It's a newsletter. I'm not sure about the people involved. I didn't go that deep with it. But they list quite a few things and quite a few areas that you want to be aware of if you're not. In this case, we see London, May 2022, a nest of impact vipers. And they have a new discussion here under a new concepting to most people called impact industry, related to the Great Reset, related to the British throne. And then you look at what the so-called British throne does in the up-and-comers and their promotion of climate change. All this stuff goes together, and it goes through and it builds and builds and builds a lot of who's involved, the meetings they're having, the decisions that are being made all every day without your input, that don't care about you, don't care about whether or not green energy is nuclear and whether or not they need to continue the contract in the face of the government also saying, we don't want your gas, making the ruble such a big obstruction that they don't want to transfer to a ruble, go ahead and give Russia their due like Russia gave to the Zionists. No, we can't do that. We got to drive everybody into austerity, into poverty. We're going to call it prosperity, renaming things. You'll see the players on this page of all the people we talk about in the news, what they do, how they're involved, how they've been involved, what they're saying. We were talking early on, breaking into the broadcast, talk about the World Bank, we're talking about the IMF, we talk about they're all here in this document. And a narrative is built, and again, I couldn't qualify every bit of the links, but all the players, you've got Klaus Schwab, Prince Charles, Sustainable Development Goals Gang, statements built right in here. If you want an overview, they bring up BRICS. I'm just rolling through here. How this all ties together, how Putin is involved. What I've been telling you is the underlying sinew of connection of the future global condition. What they're doing, that they use the vaccines, all this stuff. It's throughout this document that I think it's important enough. It maybe is a synopsis of what I've been telling you. They've seen it too. They've been reporting on it, apparently. Again, I can't qualify where all this, the information they've got came from, all of it, but the overview is good enough that if you want an overview and you want to see the players and you want to start looking at who they're involved with and what's happening around you where you live and what's at a distance is coming in to invade your country silently and quietly. This article, pretty neat in that regard to explain that. Now, so where does this go for us? Well, we have an interesting thing in nature that gives us a heads up. This global oppression that's going on, how they go about doing it, who the players are, how they continue to do it, how you're not stopping any of it. But we see that maybe we need to do that in a story I've been trying to get back onto for months and months, finally going to get to it. But we see even animals will help themselves out, shows a little more respect for each other than we will, us humans, having such the problem that we are, the fallen nature that we are, that we rely on, we tend to resort to at every turn, and even more when we have someone egging us on, like the Zio political thing. But we have here a story. Magpies have outwitted scientists by helping each other remove tracking devices. And I looked at that, I just had to bust out laughing. Well, there it is. And we're talking here more particularly in context before. I had a whole series of electronic tracking devices, your phone and all that stuff, that I was going to bring this. But this now speaks to the bigger issue about being, we outwit the social scientists, the political scientists, the epidemiologists, remember that's science, cooking the books, the economic scientists. We have, as magpies, if we were magpies, we would be working to outwit these nitwits. And we would be removing these tracking devices, these things that keep track of us, the things that keep track of what we'll think. The story is, when we attach tiny backpack-like tracking devices to five Australian magpies for a pilot study, we didn't expect, experts that didn't expect, this is the critical point here, we didn't expect to discover an entirely new social behavior rarely seen in birds. Our goal was to learn more about the movement and social dynamics of these highly intelligent birds and test these new durable and reusable devices. Instead, the birds outsmarted us. Now, are you going to get the bird flu? You take on the magpie attitude here? Not to be the gorilla, the tough guy. No, we could be a magpie. Are we going to help each other? They foiled this scientist. As I said, all these human so-called scientists, we should be working together to foil their attempts to study us and track us, and we should be able to rescue ourselves. We should invoke our unalienable rescue behavior, because we're not able to do anything on our own. Everything you look around came in by the truck, right? Everything around you probably came in by a truck. We got to figure out what's going on to that, because that's somebody's attacked our supply lines in this war. Are we going to start looking out, save ourselves, try to protect ourselves a bit, and then look out as we can to help those that we can? But if I just found this interesting, the magpie will help itself. Is mankind going to be intelligent enough to be at least as helpful as the magpie is to their own? And we get people that are in the stream of things, inside the governments, to tell us, to warn us, to call out other governments. And I'm not going to be able to play this. I wanted to, but Romanian MP Cristian Teres absolutely mops the floor with MP Justin Trudeau in Brussels this week over how he's handling the Ottawa Freedom Convoy 2022 protest, to show you how old this one is. But you need to listen what this guy says from Romania, who he refers to in Ceausescu, and the next guy who then speaks, you have to read the subtitles, I can't play that, also dumping on Trudeau, who's bringing in, he's a world leader, bringing in the same thing, the Great Reset situation that you're going to read in the Acorn. All this is put on, and we see witnesses in the world, official witnesses in the world, that are explaining to us and telling us, even so, the citizens of the world, without getting any attachment and getting all weirded out, the citizens of the world will not tolerate this, and we can stop this, is a call out for the magpie to stand up and help and rescue each other. If we needed people in the system, they're not all corrupt that way. They're there. We need to listen to them. And I think we're going to be able to take our lead and do something to help ourselves. And it starts right now, folks. Don't wait too long. The shortages are real. I hope I've said something today to inspire you to take action and do your things here locally. Do it so that we're all protected, and reach out. You're not going to get to everybody, but reach out far enough. I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs, or nature willing.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son,
just opened a whole case of Wolfpath.